your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yeah! Crushed it."
But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Ellen Butler, there on the news. 53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you want to get in touch with the show, or 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. And they're also the numbers that you need if there is any medical advice, anything that looks different than it used to or doesn't operate the way that you would hope that it might. You can fire in your questions and our resident GP, Eleanor Galvin, will be with us to answer as many as humanly possible. We're also going to be talking to high performance coach Jerry Hussey about his new book, I Am, I Can, I Will, How to Silence That Inner Critic and Actually Achieve Your Full Potential. Before that, as you heard overnight, heavyweight boxer George Foreman died surrounded by his family at the age of 76. Earlier on the show, Barry McGuigan was on and paid tribute.
But he had that, you know, that dynamic punch and that power, and he just sort of swatted punches from his opponent away like they were flies. It was just remarkable. And I thought, how could he can't do? Surely he can't. I mean, we were as bamboozled. All the boxing experts were as bamboozled as everybody else, the way he done it. And, you know, Michael Moore was a prime, in prime condition, in the prime of his life. And, you know, Foreman just swatted his punches away and just took him out of there, just flattened him. And, I mean, and you thought, how can this happen? But he did it. He did it. And I don't think anybody will ever come close to, you know, 45 years old winning the world heavyweight title. I don't think we'll ever have another heavyweight champion at that age. We've lost a colossal in the great George Foreman.
45 years of age when he regained the heavyweight world title. I think a 20-year gap between the holding the title, and then thereafter he held it till he was 46 and a half, making him the oldest person to ever hold, albeit not unified, but nonetheless heavyweight world titles. I'm joined by Roddy Collins, former football manager and a man who knows a little thing about boxing. Roddy, you, I believe, met Foreman, did you?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say George was going around 10 when he met me. Being on the in the boxing circuit and being around the States with Stephen from his early career, you would come across, like, we met Ali twice, Jake LaMotta for breakfast, and just George Foreman today, sad day, really, really young for his age. Got a video about 4 weeks ago of him hitting a big bag with the hood up in the gym. It could have been an old one, but it didn't. It looked authentic and looked recent. So when I got the phone call this morning from a researcher, probably I'll say sad because of it's the end of an era. Like, Ali's demise was slow when we all expected, but Big George to me was the big mountain man. And people say, like, you meet these people, what's it like? I found them very humble, as in, when we never approached, we always just stood in the periphery, and then you'd be invited over to just say, "Can I shake your hand?" There was no selfies or anything like that, you know. But I remember going over and just shaking his hand, not engaged in conversation. And the one thing I remember, Anton, his hand was the biggest hand I've ever seen. And he was touching 6'4", but to me, he looked about 6'10". He was broad, but he had a big smile. That was the thing I remember, a big, happy smile. And but to meet someone that, when I was growing up, my father, there was Norton, there was Fraser, Foreman, Ali, Ellis. There was a lot of, you know, young. It was a great era. And to me, any of them, but particularly Foreman. But do you know what the sad thing for me is? When you mention Foreman, everyone remembers the rumble in the jungle. I don't like that one. You know, I don't like that one. I think that takes away from the man he was, the boxer he was. He adapted his style when he came back for his comeback. And he used to call it walk people down, cross his arms. And to win a title so late in his life was unbelievable.
Well, that was particularly unbelievable with that style, because in the early stages of his comeback, it was a sort of a ponderous, lumbering approach to boxing that you would have thought, this is never going to work. But once he started throwing punches, there was a lot of the old George still there.
Well, they say the last thing you lose is your power, so you have to be pragmatic in any walk of life. You have to adapt to the situation. And he was an older man. He's never going to be as fit as the ones. 10 years out of the ring, wow, that's an unbelievable, and to recur so young as well. And then to make the comeback, and when that happens in boxing with anyone, Anton, you go, oh, please don't do this. You know, you don't need it. Don't destroy a legacy there, you know. So, but when he came back and he adopted this walk and downstroke and crossed the arms over and just used what he had, and that was the heavy shot. But Jerry Cooney was in our gym there probably about just before lockdown or just after lockdown. I can't recollect exactly. But you could ask Jerry because he was there as a guest to us, and he was enjoying the crack. And, like, what was it like fighting Foreman? He said, I've never, ever been hit so hard. Never been hit so hard. And he said, I've never landed so hard a shot. So, like, when you ask about boxing, has he got a good chin? Yeah. Can he throw a jab? George Foreman had a fantastic jab in his prime. Could he throw a right hand? By God, he was one of the heaviest punchers of all time. And also, what was his IQ? Like, they always ask that. What's the IQ? Absolute intelligence, which he showed later in his life. But, you know, it's like everything else, Anton. People remember the Shannon Briggs fight, the Duke Morrison fight. These are fighters that shouldn't have ever been in the same ring as this man. But that's boxing. But look, very, very sad. Very sad. And do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to return my George Foreman grill, which I've had for probably, I don't know how it still exists, Anton. It's about 20 years old, you know?
Well, it's good to know. Will it have a place of honour? Will you frame it, mantelpiece? Have you decided yet, or are there still options ahead?
Now, well, calm down, will you? I will keep it 100%, but I'm not going to, like, you know, create some sort of, what would you say, shrine or anything like that. But no, it's there. It's the Georgie, we call it. I stick that in the Georgie, you know. But look, it's just, for me, I'm looking at the fridge of my father and all his brothers, all boxing people, and I'm like, Jesus, you know, it's the end of it, like. How can I say it? It's just sad, you know.
Roddy, thanks very much for your time this morning. That's Roddy Collins, former football manager. I'm joined as well by Gavin Casey, sports journalist with the 42. And what Roddy was saying there, Gavin, about the end of an era. The odd thing, of course, with George Foreman's career is, to some extent, it's the end of two eras, because it's hard to think of a man who fought Holyfield at one end of his career and fought Joe Frazier at the other, because they're other than him, they seem like two totally separate epochs in boxing.
And they really were, Anton, and it's his longevity and that double achievement, if you like, which really puts him on a pedestal with the all-time greats in boxing, not just heavyweights, to my mind. It's funny, like, just, I suppose, the loss of Foreman feels almost akin to the loss of Eddie Jordan earlier in the week, in that you have these larger-than-life characters who were successful in their own right, but equally were associated with some of the greatest to ever do it in their respective sports, and both of their sports feel poorer for their absence. Even for those of us who are too young to have seen Foreman in either of his primes, in my case, and have to consume his fights via YouTube footage and stories, you know, he remained this massive presence within boxing, even on Twitter, where he would regale people with his stories of fighting Ali, who he later befriended, and fighting Joe Frazier, telling these stories to hundreds of thousands of people, unprompted at times, or just responding to fans. He was extremely engaging on that side of things. And I appreciate where Roddy is coming from, in that you would hate for Foreman to be defined by the Rumble in the Jungle. It's never been the case for me. But it does set the scene for what is, to my mind, the greatest sporting comeback of all time. Like, right up there, maybe slightly above Tiger Woods winning the Masters in 2019. And one of the greatest sporting moments of all time, which is that knockout of a prime Michael Moorer in 1994. As you noted at the top, 20 years and a week after he lost to Ali in Zaire, he pulls this off and becomes the oldest ever heavyweight world champion. Roddy says that a boxer's punch is the last thing to go, and it's often used of older opponents almost to add a degree of credit to a fight against an over-the-hill kind of a has-been, I guess. I don't even know if it is true, but it had to be said after Foreman did what he did, and I think it may be that he was the origin of that phrase, because otherwise it simply didn't make sense what he pulled off.
The other thing, of course, was how frank he was about his motivations. We played the clip earlier on, but him saying very clearly he went broke and his church went broke, and that meant he had to get back in the ring, though he had no desire to do it. And in the second half of his career, he was the the verbally sweetest heavyweight boxer I think we've ever seen. I mean, to see a man win fights and then smile and say, I'm dying for a cheeseburger, that wasn't the norm in the heavyweight division at that stage.
No, extremely loquacious. And even after that victory over Moore, you have this iconic backdrop of the HBO commentary with Jim Lampley just repeating, it happened. And then the camera pans to Foreman. He looks to the skies. It's almost as though he can't quite believe what he's done himself. Then he turns back to his corner, bends down and says a prayer. And even around that time, he had become extremely respectful of the great heavyweights with whom he had shared that previous era. And he went on to really adore Ali, who had broken his heart and pretty much ruined his life in 1974. Foreman described that as being the most embarrassing moment of his life. And I, as you mentioned, the comeback wasn't about legacy. It wasn't about setting the record straight. It was initially financially motivated. As it transpired, he did pretty well for himself in 1999 when he sold the naming rights to the famous grill. He sold those for $138 million, and he made a lot more throughout his life from that product. I think even before the sale, he was earning somewhere in the region of $4.5 million per month just from the George Foreman grill. So
per
money
month?
Stopped being a factor. Yeah, yeah. And then the $138 million lump sum, I couldn't tell you how much he would have made from it overall, but you're talking about a lot more money than he made from boxing, that's for certain. So I guess probably by 1995, around the time when he was just about winding down again, the grill was a thing. So he was probably secure either way. And that's it. Like, I mean, that his legacy isn't just that of a boxer, right? He was a Christian minister, an entrepreneur, an author, a raconteur, and there won't be many like him again, if any.
Gavin, thank you very much. Gavin Casey, sports journalist with The 42, and the statement from the family, our hearts are broken. With profound sorrow, we announce the passing of our beloved George Edward Foreman Sr., who peacefully died on March 21st, 2025, surrounded by loved ones. A devout preacher, a devoted husband, a loving father, and a proud grand and great-grandfather, he lived a life marked by unwavering faith, humility, and purpose.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.